hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a terrific Thursday today. If you hear any background noise, it's because my neighbor has a giant that they cut down a big tree, and they're actually running it through a wood chipper right now. So I've been watching them through the window for the last couple minutes here, and I don't usually work with those anymore. I've worked with them when I was younger, but I forgot how dangerous they were. I saw one of the branches actually grab the dude's shoulder a minute ago, and he kind of fell forward, and his buddy grabbed him. These things are really dangerous. So if you guys ever have to use a wood chipper, use caution with it, because I've been watching for the last 10 minutes now, 5-10 minutes, and I don't envy these guys at all having to work on this thing. But other than that, Dad, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. I've used wood chippers before, and I've watched people use them before, and I've chosen to have people that I bring in and pay to use wood chippers now. I don't mess with them anymore because they are so dangerous. What I've seen a lot of people do now is they have a machine that feeds the wood chipper. They'll actually pick it up with like a tractor. And the tractor kind of goes there up there sideways and slides it in. I've seen them take up to 12-inch limbs, 12 inches thick. And so it's been interesting. It's 12-inch in diameter. So it's been interesting watching those things work, and they're an amazing tool, but they are so dangerous because if you get your shoulder or your arm hooked in one of these limbs and you get pulled into the wood chipper, you get pulled into the wood chipper so quickly, you don't even realize you just got chipped, you know, and you're dead.
Yeah.
Your pieces on the other side. So one of those things, guys, hire the professionals to do that. Weeks ago, I talked about the greater Israeli plan as far as increasing the size of Israel and then Netanyahu. That's kind of like his fantasy world, and how the U.S. was basically, you know, really working with Israel now against Iran. And I got a bunch of emails saying that's absolutely not true. The United States and Israel are not working together to go against Iran. And I thought, well, okay, I'm just going to let that subject go for a bit. And today on Drudge, it says a big scoop from Axios website. This is on the Drudge, main Drudge website at the very top right now. If you go look at it, it says scoop. The U.S. and Israel are reaching joint plan to counter Iran. Oh, imagine that. We said that weeks ago. I got chewed out by that. And I said, oh, how about that? That's interesting. Here's what they're planning on doing. Covert and diplomatic action to block Iran's path toward nuclear weapons. Countering Iran's activity in the region. Countering the Iran ballistic missiles. Joint U.S.-Israel preparation for different escalation scenarios in the region, which means going to war and going into combat is what that means. Different escalation scenarios concerning Iran, Syria, Hezbollah, and Lebanon, and Hamas in Gaza. Senior Israeli officials confirm that the U.S. and Israeli have arrived at strategic understandings regarding Iran that would strengthen the cooperation in countering regional challenges. You know, guys, I don't make this stuff up. I mean, I get so many articles that come in across my desk, and those of you who are on my personal email address, you know that. I send you maybe 5% of what I get every day. And I just kind of pick a few things and send them to my personal list that I find interesting, though I don't agree with all of those things I send out. Sometimes I'll even put disclaimers on them. I find the article interesting. But guys, this interaction right now between Israel and the United States and Donald Trump and the Zionists in Washington and throughout the country is pretty extensive. And it just is what it is. And trying to pretend like it's not really there really isn't being a good steward as far as an American citizen. You need to realize that this is going on, and I'm not making it up. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, there's definitely some weird connections and a lot of stuff that's been going on for quite some time now. So there's absolutely no reason to believe this stuff is fake, especially when you know how intertangled the Mossad is with the CIA and everything else that we do over in the Middle East. So, yeah, this doesn't surprise me at all, but I definitely do find it wild that Drudge reported on it. Also, too, in other news, you guys know I have constantly tried to keep up with what's been going on in Vegas. I saw an article today, actually, Dad sent me from the Intel Hub. And this, we talked about this numerous times. Dad even brought this up actually right after the shooting, that there's a good possibility some type of drone or aircraft could have been deployed during that whole shooting. Well, now multiple more videos have surfaced from that shooting, one of them by Nick Vegas channel off YouTube, that shows muzzle flashes emitting from an aircraft between the two hotels, from the Delano Hotel and the Mandalay Bay Hotel, multiple different videos. And we had talked about this before. I had talked to you guys the probability of this guy pulling this off with a 5.56 rifle. rifle from where he was in that elevated position with the windage was, you know, virtually impossible with the type of body count that he got. I even went out there last month, beginning of November, and I physically walked the entire thing, including the Mandalay Bay. And now that I've seen this video, now you can see that there's significant muzzle flash coming between the two hotels, and it moves. Now, the interesting thing about this is the investigative journalists have gone in now and talked to air traffic controllers and everything as far as that night, and there were no helicopters supposedly deployed in the area that night. There were no permits granted for low-flying aircraft to be in the area. Apparently in Vegas, if you were within so many feet of any rooftops of any hotels in the area, you basically have to get a permit and a conditional use permit on why you need to be flying in between buildings, such as a Hollywood movie scene, something like that. Nothing like that was granted whatsoever. So there should have been zero aircrafts in the air, especially from a helicopter standpoint in that area at that point in time, and you can see muzzle flashes repeatedly. And again, in these videos, you still do not see any muzzle flash whatsoever coming from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay, which I told you guys would have been virtually impossible for this guy to be shooting a rapid-fire bump stock weapon from that elevated point, because you can see when you go up there, when I looked at the photo when I was standing outside of Mandalay Bay, the 32nd floor, I think Mandalay Bay is only like 40 stories, the 32nd floor is right down from the top, and when you see the photos of the broken windows, you would easily be able to see a muzzle flash coming from that point in time. But what's interesting as well, in these videos that you see the flash coming from what it looks like a helicopter, it still shows you the same thing of what I said from the beginning that made no sense to me. When the shooting started, the whoever did it, I don't know, flipped on the exterior-facing lights on the stage and on the entire area around the stage, which made it very difficult to see around the area facing Mandalay Bay, because you had these huge, monstrous spotlights in your face, which made it very difficult to figure out where anything was coming from because you're so disoriented from looking at these lights. You can see it in the video right there on the website. And so it makes it very difficult to tell where flashes would be coming from. But if you see and you watch the video repeatedly, especially on the 1080p that they blew it up on here, you can see flashes literally just like you would with a machine gun coming from some type of aircraft, it seems to be, between those two hotels. So I thought that was a pretty wild, Dad. And again, we're seeing nothing's being disclosed. I talked about that with Dad today. No videos have come through with this guy even being in Vegas anywhere, even though Vegas has cameras all over the place. And this is everybody wants answers with it, pushing for this until we finally get some type of true answers, because nobody is talking about this in the FBI, the Sheriff's Department out there in Vegas. Nobody is talking about it with these guys. They know something else happened. If they weren't involved in it, then they're definitely trying to not say anything. They may have to have gag orders. Who knows? But there's definitely some weird, weird stuff that happened out there, Deb.
Well, the stuff I'm reading is that there's a lot of cover up going on because of the police department and the Sheriff's Department. The link to the casinos, organized crime, payoffs,
yep,
and liability exposure for the Mandalay Bay, because a lot of this information is being suppressed. But guys, look at Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, we never saw any videotape, and we didn't see anything. I mean, we didn't see any helicopters coming in to rescue the kids or medevacking them out. We didn't see anything.
Nope.
Didn't see any ambulances that were actually running in Sandy. Didn't see anything. Look at the Pulse shooting in Orlando. Nothing. We didn't see anything. We didn't see any cameras on the inside of the building, and all those clubs have cameras on the inside just for their own security purpose. We didn't see anything. Never saw the pictures of still photos afterwards. Never saw any pictures of the actual event taking place. Look at Sandy Hook. Same thing. You know, look at 9/11 and the Pentagon. No cameras were taken. I mean, no cameras were. They had like five frames released, which showed no airplane. You know, like five, six, seven, ten years later, after Freedom of Information Act was used. I mean, these guys don't allow people to come in and look at the evidence. It doesn't happen that way, because these are CIA, Mossad, covert operations that have been going on since Operation Gladio back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, 80s. They've been going on for a long, long time. And these guys have this lone assassin nutbag dialed in pretty tight. They almost always get shot, get killed, get run down and get killed. You know, if you watch the movie The Shooter with Mark Wahlberg, it's the same thing. He's got the lone assassin. He's the nut. He's the guy firing his 50 caliber weapon. He fires at this guy and kills him. He's not even the one who does the shooting. They try to stage it so he gets killed immediately. And then, of course, the cop who fingers him, who shoots him, gets killed immediately. They're playing the same scenario, you know, like Lee Harvey Oswald. I mean, the problem is, the American population is so dumbed down now from the fluoride and the drugs and the chemtrails and the aluminum and all the other stuff we're exposed to and the GMOs and the trash, that people in the United States don't really care. As long as their 401ks are good, as long as they're paying all their minimum credit card bills every month, as long as their kids aren't giving them too many problems, as long as they're able to vacation and plan their vacation years in advance and do all the things they want to do, they don't care if a UFO is about to land, they don't care if Donald Trump wins the election, they don't care what happens, all as long as that people leave them and their stuff alone. This morning I was talking to the children, because Harrison has just finished his stint at Polk State College. He'll be done with his bachelor's degree now in February, Austin, and he's 18 years old. He'll actually be getting his diploma after he turns 19 in April, but he actually completed the coursework when he was 18 for his bachelor's degree in a fully, full, state college that's completely and totally, accredited. And what's interesting about all of this, he told his younger sister today, he said, what's going to happen when you go to Polk State College in the fall, Savannah will start when she's 15 years old in August of this next coming year, and she'll turn 16 years old in December of next year. He told her, he said, you're going to find all kinds of people to hang out with. You're going to find people over there that don't want to be there. Their parents have sent them, that are basically just derelicts. You're going to find stoners and dopers and kids that are addicted to video games. You're going to find people that have borrowed money to go, but they don't want to go to school because they just want to borrow the money, and they don't even try in the classrooms. He said, then you're going to find some committed students. He said, but very rarely will you ever find a committed Christian in a secular school. So he said, you have to choose as a Christian who you're going to associate with and who you're going to hang out with. I mean, my 18-year-old really gave my 15-year-old some really good advice this morning during our prayer time. He says, you've got to make the choices before you get to that school of who you will associate with and what you will and won't do. I remember even when I went to Polk State College back in 1973, I remember there were always those groups of people that were the stoners, those groups of people that were the weirdos that were involved in the theater presentations, etc. Not that all people involved in theater are weirdos, because they're not, but they were just strange. And all of these different types of people were there, and you had to choose who you wanted to hang out with, and you had to choose very, very quickly. Because as you go to a college or you go to a university, you're going to find out in a very short period of time that they're going to invite you to parties. I know people that have gone to parties and fraternities, and I know them who have had problems as far as, gang assault, rapes. This list goes on and on. I've seen people, I've read about people, don't know anyone who've gone to frat parties and basically the initiation parties and have died from alcohol poisoning. So kids, listen to me for a second if you're listening today. If you're starting a school, if it's a secular school, even if it's a Christian school, you've got to choose before you go whom you're going to serve. You've got to rely and stand on the promises of God. That's why it's so important, mothers and fathers, to take your children and pray with them every day and let them know that, hey, look, there is a better way. There's a different way to live. You don't have to succumb to the ways of the world, because you've got Hollywood out there, which is programming kids' minds on a daily basis with movies, with music videos, with music, new movie releases. You've got the feminist movement that's out there to completely destroying American culture. And everything that we're talking about today is designed specifically to destroy the very fabric of the Christian society that is or was American when it was formed. I mean, they don't want families to be together. They don't want families praying together. They don't want families going to church together. I've got a friend of mine who's got a big church, and he sent a Happy New Year presentation out, and listed all the accomplishments of the church, about how many people there was who saw them on TV, how many homeless drives they had, all this different stuff they've done this year for the church itself and for the goals that they accomplished as a church. But nowhere on the paperwork that I received from them, from the email that I have, did they mention one thing about souls. Did they didn't say, we had 10,000 or 20,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 or 5,000 or 10, whatever it was, conversions to Jesus Christ. Nothing. Not one single thing. Not one thing they had. And then what they do during the services, you text the fact that you got converted to Christ to the church. You text it. There's no more meeting with them. There's no longer a sinner's prayer at the church. None of this stuff. This is the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it group that basically are doing everything they possibly can to increase the gross revenue of the church, to increase their own lifestyle. Now, I'm not saying that they don't do some good work, and I'm not saying that they aren't good for the community in some cases, and I'm not saying that some people don't get saved through these ministries. What I'm saying is this. We all need to have a focus and a goal-driven mentality, especially if we're pastors or leaders, to try to bring the lost to Christ. That's why I always admire a pastor, no matter how many people are in his church, how many new people are in his church or whatever, they always do an altar call at the end of every sermon. Because guys, if you're not getting people saved as an individual and as a corporate body in your church, then you need to really, really evaluate what your goals are. Are your goals really to have a bigger facility or have more campuses or to have more online streaming or to have more this, more that, more this or that? Where are the goals to get people saved? Very important. By the way, Roy Moore has now filed a lawsuit to block the Alabama Senate result. There's been a lot of stuff they've been talking about in the last few weeks since this election. I've been hesitant to discuss any of it with you until I saw him actually do this. In Montgomery, Alabama, refusing to concede, failed candidate Roy Moore has doubled down. Now, notice how this, a little bit of brainwashing already. Failed candidate Roy Moore, this is from Yahoo News, has doubled down on his claims of voter irregularities in Alabama's U.S. Senate race in a last-ditch effort to stop the certification of the Democratic opponent who pulled off a historic upset last month in a traditionally deep red state. This, Roy Moore was not beaten. This is total and complete election fraud, period. That's all this is. Total and complete. Now, what's interesting about this is they have to put in there, Moore's campaign was deeply wounded by accusations of sexual misconduct involving teenage girls years ago. Now, they don't have to put that in there, but they'd want to put that in there to further discredit him, to continue to keep that on your mind that this is what happened. Now, the Daily Mail goes a step further as far as the propaganda against Roy. Here's what it says. Roy Moore loses again. Okay? Democratic Doug Jones officially declared winner of Alabama Senate election after judge turned down voter fraud claims. So it's saying Roy Moore loses again. And then it goes on, Republican Roy Moore lost the U.S. Senate race in Alabama after being accused of child molestation and other forms of sexual misconduct. Anybody can accuse anybody of anything, guys. Get that through everybody's head today on the show. It doesn't mean any of it's true. It goes, he demanded a new election and said voter fraud cost him a seat in Congress. Moore submitted an affidavit to a judge saying he had passed a polygraph test showing he had never had sexual contact with women accused him of groping. The Alabama Secretary of State said he had no intentions of changing the plan to certify Democrat Judge Jones's victory. Moore's campaign wanted a pause in the certification process while fraud allegations could be investigated. A judge turned down that request, and Alabama election officials quickly declared Jones the winner. Again, he doesn't have his day in court. He doesn't get a chance to prove he was right. He doesn't get a chance to prove the Democratic machine and the Republican machine, the GOP machine, went against him in Alabama because they knew he could not be controlled. He doesn't get anything, Austin. He gets kicked out, said, you're not going to win. You're not going to prove anything. Doesn't matter how much we see of election fraud. We're not going to allow you to talk about it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened with him. We've seen it firsthand now, and this has been the goal of a lot of these, the globalist push, because they want to try to get these guys out of office. They don't want any of these conservatives in there anymore. The more they can push these guys, whether it's on the state level with the governors, whether it's in Congress, whether it's in Senate, all this stuff, they want to try to get it as liberal as possible. And that's why I've told everybody before, be very, very awake and frosty before the midterm elections in 2018, because there's a good possibility they're going to try to pull something again. I mean, we see this stuff, and it's not coincidental. I mean, that's why I talked about Dad this morning. We had the SHARE Act that was going to go in and actually open up the NFA Act from 1934 and possibly pull suppressors off the NFA list because it's unconstitutional to rule those as an NFA weapon. You have to pay a tax stamp on them. The same week, the end of the week before the Vegas shooting happened. Now we completely shelved that bill, and now we're taking a step further, and the Department of Justice wants to come in and start saying that the bump fire stocks, which in my opinion were not even used in that shooting whatsoever, but the bump fire stocks are now classified as machine guns. This is what the agenda is, whether it's from the guns, whether it's to the politics, whether it's to the liberal agenda, they're doing the best they can to completely undermine our Christian constitutional rights and values in this country, and they're doing so as quickly as they possibly can now because they know time is coming short for a lot of this because of how much true news is coming out now because of the alternative medium, what we're doing, what Hagman's doing, what Hodges is doing. all of us are really starting to spread the word. And with our listeners like you guys, when you guys forward the show, when you tell people about it, when you just speak a word of mouth and say, hey, this is what's going on, and waking people up all the way from the GMOs to the vaccines to the guns to our rights, all this stuff, people are waking up all over the country, and these guys are getting scared now. That's why they're doing anything they can, including resorting to total propaganda media pieces, which they've done for years, and on top of that, full-blown election fraud, what we've seen now. And in my opinion, what was fully attempted with the Hillary-Trump election last year. So we're seeing all this stuff come together. So we have to keep doing the best we can to spreading the truth and what's really going on. Also, too, Dad touched base a minute ago on video games. I wanted to bring this up because this is quite troubling, because we already know where this is going to lead to now. Despite shady details as well as the overreach and abuse of mental health classifications we've seen over the last 20 years now, the World Health Organization will now be adding gaming disorder to its international classification of diseases in 2018. According to the draft of the 2018 International Classification of Diseases, the WHO's gaming disorder will be defined as a pattern of persistent or reoccurrent gaming behavior, which may be online or offline, manifested by impaired control over gaming, increased priority given to gaming to the extent that gaming takes precedent over life interests and daily activities, and continuation or escalation of gaming despite the occurrence of negative consequences. Further, the behavior pattern is of sufficient severity to result in significant impairment in personal, family, social, educational, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. It may be either continuous or reoccurrent. It also is typically diagnosed following a period of at least 12 months of evidence, but has no concrete time requirement. The DSM-5, which I talked about the other day, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, concluded that gaming disorder is not warranted a disease yet and needs further study. So the DSM's already said this is not something that needs to be classified as a disease. Even the American Psychiatric Association will not classify it without additional research. In fact, though, their response to the rise of the incredibly broad and vaguely defined condition warned against just this sort of route being taken by the WHO. Nevertheless, the World Health Organization will be adding it to the International Classification of Diseases. My issue with this, first off, you're taking something that's an electronic device. It's an addiction as far as whether it's gambling, anything like that. You're addicted to electronic device. I got that. Yes, you can have that. However, the problem this is going to lead to, and we already know this is going to, A, turn into more pharmaceutical drugs now. They're going to start saying, well, we got to come out with a pharmaceutical drug to combat addictive gaming disorder. And on top of that, now we're going to be able to have people, in my opinion, this will probably start, because anytime we have a disorder or disease, you can say you're disabled. Now we're going to have people that are going to say, well, I have gaming disorder, I need to go on disability, I need to basically get my check every month because I have a disorder that I can't help. The same way that we have listed obesity under a disorder disease now, and you can go under full disability for being obese because you won't stop eating so much food. Start allowing ridiculous things like this to be designated as true diseases, and start allowing pharmaceutical companies to come in and manufacture drugs to prevent or fix these diseases, Dad. But when I saw that yesterday, actually, with the WHO, I thought that was pretty crazy that they're doing this now, but it didn't really surprise me a whole lot.
Why would we be surprised? I mean, if they can make everybody a victim, they basically have a victim status. I mean, I remember the other day, Harrison was telling me, Austin, that when he took the LSAT, he said that he had had a disability. He had got all kinds of special privileges on the LSAT. He had had extra time to complete the LSAT. He had been able to bring his own food and his own water in there, and he had been able to have all these little breaks and bathroom breaks and all these different things which don't apply to a normal person, which are given to people that have disabilities. And he said as long as the person had a victim mentality, a victim status, and they had a disability, they were given all of this extra time to do an LSAT. Like if they have ADD or ADHD, they're basically given extra time to do the LSATs. All of these different categories of diseases now and things that people say are wrong with them allow them to get more and more money from the government. I remember I had friends of mine back in college. They'd apply for every grant, for everything that you could possibly find that was not a loan, which I don't really have a problem with if they qualify for them, but I didn't know all of those things existed. I had no idea that you could apply for all of this free money, but the government likes to give out money. And if you have a certain requirement that's met by the government, they will give you all kinds of money. Kevin Trudeau, who's in prison now, I think he's been in prison for 4 or 5 years, who I don't recommend. He basically defrauded me. I know him personally. Don't care for him. But he did come out with a book, What the Government Doesn't Want You to Know About Free Programs, et cetera, et cetera. And he ended up in a situation where, you know, he was giving out too much information concerning the government. In fact, a lot of the information he was giving out was taken directly off of my audio cassette programs. And it was funny. Somebody said to me, well, I listened to your program. It's almost identical to what this guy put out on Kevin Trudeau's program. Are you upset about that? My response was no. I said, he'll sow it, he'll reap it. Sooner or later, somebody else will figure out what he's doing, and he'll get in trouble for it. And I said, quite frankly, if he's going to plagiarize anybody's health stuff or any health information, I'd rather have him plagiarize my stuff because I know at least I know it's accurate. And they said, really? I said, yeah. I said, at least he's not giving out bogus information and bad information. At least he's giving out stuff that he stole from me or somebody else. But that's what he did. And so this is what people do all the time. They take stuff from other people, Austin. They complain. They say that it's their own, and they go down that road with it. So, yeah, none of this stuff surprises me with the gaming addictions or anything else, Austin, because, quite frankly, they're going to be able to tie it all together here as quickly as they possibly can as far as keeping everybody as a victim. Paul Craig Roberts wrote a really good article. He's calling it the feminist threat to women and men. I'm going to read you part of it. Recently, I read in Counterpunch two feminist rants against men. Not all men, just white, heterosexual men. It is not always easy for a male of my generation to understand what feminists are saying, but I will try. One seems to be saying that women live in a society that puts in power men who believe that violence against women is acceptable. Elevating your accusation to the fact, the writer says that women should not have to prove their case when they bring sexual harassment and assault charges, much less prove personal validity to even by making the case against the man. Is the writer saying that any irate woman should have the right to impugn a man with an unchallenged charge? Do men in American society believe that violence against women is acceptable? I think not, unless the violence is committed by police. America seems to accept police violence against men, women, children, the handicapped, or the family dog. The other writer says that women have to sell themselves to live. She, despite a degree from a prestigious university, went to work as a stripper, a lap dancer, and apparently as a prostitute, and she blames men for her poor decisions. To be clear, I sympathize with anyone who finds himself in a position that survival requires a sacrifice of their self-esteem. This happens to people everywhere all over the world. It is not a unique experience of women. The woman who was a stripper writes that, what I learned in the strip club taught me more about the realities of being a woman in the 21st century than anything else has ever done. It was there, she writes, that she learned that her handicaps in life were her intelligence and sharp tongue, and that she, while men dictated the terms of her existence, women were also complicit in maintaining a systemic inequality. Complicit women, she writes, sliced off parts of her soul just as did men. Now I'm going to stop there. You can read the rest of this yourself. I'm not going to sit here and read to you during the show, but here's what this is basically saying. These women are blaming everybody else for their problems, and now they're trying to blame everything on men. Now, I'm not saying that some men aren't pigs. I'm going to say to you right now, some men are pigs, but not all men are pigs. I can also say to you that some women are pigs, but not all women are pigs. There are really fine Christian ladies and Christian women. There are fine women who aren't even Christians. And there are fine men of the same categories who basically are good Christian men and some good Christian guys and some guys that aren't Christian that are good guys. But here's this lady complaining about the life that she has, Austin, this liberal female who hates white men, admitting that she went to a prestigious university and got a degree, and she's working as a stripper, which is going to give her a cross-section of the lowest members of humanity as far as the people that go to strip clubs and how they treat women. She puts herself as an object to be objectified on a stripper platform, to be gawked at by men, and then she curses the very men who are looking at her, giving her tips and supplying her needs as far as her financial requirements, and yet she sells herself into prostitution to these same men. None of this makes any sense to me. I mean, people have to realize that everybody's responsible for their own actions. Who paid for her to go to the university? Was it a student loan? Was it her parents? Did she work her way through the school? Why does she suddenly think that when she got out of the university, her life would be handed a giant platter of accomplishments that she had not yet achieved? This is the most frustrating thing to me, Austin, when I see people who graduate from college, who because they have a college degree or a high school diploma, they now think that they're going to be an asset to the job market and that they should be hired at a higher level of salary than a person who didn't have the high school degree or the college degree. Quite frankly, I've had people who worked for me many, many times who had no high school diploma, who had GEDs. Some of them had no GEDs, which were some of the finest, best people I've ever hired in my entire life. I've had office managers who had high school diplomas who basically had no formal high school training or college training who were incredible managers, incredible people. I have been in business for 37 years, and I have seen everything. I have had college-educated people that were complete and total blithering idiots. They couldn't get themselves through anything, nor could they even follow simple instructions or requests by me or any of their superiors. They couldn't get it done. So, guys, here's the thing. Your life is dependent upon what you choose to do. My old adage is this, and this is what I have on my wall in my office. My German mother, grandmother, wrote this in Germany back in the 1800s, and this is what she said. Zwei Leben stützen brechen nie Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie, which means there are two fundamental principles in life that can never be broken. They are prayer and work. Guys, work like it's all up to you. Pray like it's all up to God. Rely on the Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you, and direct you. And guys, your life will work out, and you will be able to accomplish things you never possibly imagined if you are being led by the Holy Spirit. Because the Word says, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And guys, it's not by the owner of the strip club. That's not who it's by. So guys, those types of people who want to tear into people and hate all white men because they've made bad choices, I feel bad for them, Austin. They need to get saved. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of, the irony is, it knows no bounds with that. I mean, that's the aspect of it. That's where she chose. I mean, nobody required her to get a job there after she left college. Nobody said, this is where you have to work. This is where you're basically have to do your residency after you get out of college. She chose to work there. She probably made very good money. And what's funny is she's sitting there and putting down and blaming the very individuals that are actually paying her the money that she's getting at this job. At the same time, like I said, you see the irony with this. I mean, and this is what we've seen so much now, especially with this liberal left ideology, is it's always everybody's fault but my own. It doesn't matter what my actions are. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what decisions I make. It doesn't matter at all. It's your fault because you did it. And the problem with that ideology is what Dad just said. You go through life constantly being a victim that blames everybody else for your actions. So you make a poor decision, you make a poor choice, you go down the wrong road, but it's somebody else's fault that you came in contact with while you were on that road that caused you to make it worse. Instead of sitting there saying, well, I shouldn't have made that decision. I probably need to try and backtrack and figure out where I'm at and start over and try to go a different route because obviously this route is not working that good for me. So yeah, very well put on that, Dad. I'm glad you brought that up because people come out with that a lot, and it's the same thing as you just talked about too, the victim status with the gaming disease. The same thing ties back in all this. That's why they push all these diseases, all these medications. It's to keep the victim status so nobody has to take responsibility for their actions whatsoever. Also, too, other news. This is kind of ironic as well, speaking of that. London Mayor Sadiq Khan, who's the London mayor who, by the way, is devout Muslim, has now stated that a visit by U.S. President Donald Trump would not be welcome in London. He made this statement in written response to questions from a member of the London Assembly in which he was asked what he would do to make President Trump feel welcome when he anticipated his visit in 2018. He stated that he previously called on Theresa May to cancel her ill-judged offer of a state visit to President Trump. The mayor made clear his feelings of he feels a visit by President Trump would be against the interest and security of Londoners. He said it is clear that any official visit here would not be welcomed. Apparently, without irony, he said this completely serious, but again, the irony, again, the mayor said it was because, and I quote, President Trump is not welcome because London is a beacon of tolerance, acceptance, and diversity, and that a visit by President Trump should not go ahead, remarking that Trump is completely incapable or incompatible with the values of London's that we hold dear. So he's saying Trump isn't welcome here because London is a beacon of tolerance and acceptance and diversity. I got a real kick out of that when I read that today as far as this guy really doesn't know the definition of irony when he was speaking, but again, Trump called out a lot of the Muslim agenda of what a lot of the Muslims completely tolerate, even the Muslims that are not radicalized, that are not violent, but they still tolerate and cover for the radical extremist Muslims. And that's what Trump tweeted a couple of weeks ago, I think, on some of those videos he posted. And obviously, Mayor Sadiq Khan didn't take too kindly to that, but he probably should have chose his words a little bit clearer and better before making himself look like a buffoon with his ironic statement, Dad. I thought that was funny, though.
London is filled with perverts and weirdos who've accepted each other's weird, ridiculously perverted, strange, very satanic lifestyle. I mean, that's what London's filled with. So it is a beacon of tolerance. I will give London credit for that. Pretty much every filth you can possibly find, you'll find in London and in Las Vegas and in Berlin. I'm not just picking on London. I mean, and you don't, let's not forget Tel Aviv, the number one homosexual destination and vacation spot in the world. Let's not forget any of these major cities, including France and Los Angeles and in New York City, that have their own whole values in Key West, Florida, who are major perverted areas. Tampa, Florida, one of the number one child trafficking, sex trafficking countries or you know, cities in the country. I mean, all of these places are beacons of tolerance because of the perversion that's accepted. Guys, let me go over the definitions of being a racist and being a bigot again. A racist is a person who basically believes that someone else is genetically inferior to them because they're black or they're white or they're Caucasian or they're Hispanic. Because they're different, they believe that that person is genetically inferior and they need to be basically wiped out. Kind of like a lot of the people now at the major universities who are saying that all white people should be killed or neutered or shouldn't be allowed to breed. Those people are racists. When they single out an individual group of people like whites or blacks or Hispanics or whatever, and they feel as though they are genetically inferior and they shouldn't be allowed to breed, that's a racist comment. Now, here's a bigot comment. If I'm intolerant towards another person's viewpoints or their lifestyle choices, let me give you an example. If I don't think it's okay to sodomize little boys, I'm bigoted towards their value system because they're a bunch of sodomites. I'm okay with that. I'm a bigot in that category. The problem is, in London, they don't want you to be a bigot in any category, regardless of the perversion that is in the area or the people involved in the perversion. You are supposed to accept it wholeheartedly as a beacon of tolerance. In other words, you are not going to be bigoted towards anybody else's value system. That's simply not me. And I'm 62 years old, and I don't give a rat's bottom if someone thinks that I should accept sodomy or bestiality or some kind of sick perversion and I don't like it, so I'm bigoted towards their behavioral pattern. I'm bigoted towards them. So say, well, you're saying you're a bigot? Well, yeah, in those cases I'm a bigot. Now, I'm not a racist, I'm not that, but I'm a bigot. And pretty much everybody listening to this show, I can find something that you don't like that you oppose to, and I can say you're a bigot too, or else you wouldn't be listening to this show. So I'll wear that badge honorably. It means that I'm intolerant towards sickos and perverts and people that hurt little children, Austin. I can't stand these guys. And quite frankly, Trump should even go to London. He should say, you know what? I tell you what, guys. If you don't want me over there, pound salt. How about it? I don't show up. I won't fly over there. I won't basically come say hi. You guys do your thing. We'll do our thing. And you guys just hang out with your perverts and your weirdos. That's what I would do if I was Trump, Austin. What do you think?
That's exactly what I would do. I'm not sure what his response would be, or he may just show up just to prove a point. I don't know, but I thought that was pretty funny. And, I mean, it was a good explanation what you just gave. I mean, specifically on that, because that's exactly what happens when you take a society that has to be totally acceptant of everything that happens. I mean, that's essentially what you had with Sodom and Gomorrah. That was the whole... There were no morals, there were no ethics, there were no limits on anything. Also, too, up in New Jersey now, we've seen this happen repeatedly throughout the United States, and I don't know whether or not this is mind control frequencies that they've used on phones, or if it's just the mentality of this younger generation of what they do, but a New Jersey mall had to be shut down and forced into lockdown after a crowd of over 1,000 juveniles became unruly to the point where the shop shuttered their windows, closed their doors, the escalators were switched off, and the police were called. They said that while the police showed up and were dispersing the crowd, at least 5 juveniles were arrested. They also said that rumors circulated on social media that firearms were brandished during the chaos. Such disorderly scenes have become commonplace across the United States in recent years. A similar incident at the Westburn Mall in Stockton, California provoked a police response, and similar footage was also captured at the Fox Valley Mall in Aurora, Illinois last year, but I watched some of the videos of this, and it was wild. And, you know, another buddy sent it to me, and a couple people emailed me about it today, and I said, this right here, if you see the video from New Jersey, you'll see exactly what I'm saying. this is one of those situations where if you find yourself, you just happen to be in this situation and this happens, do not get in a confrontation. Do not say anything to anybody. You need to leave the mall as safely as possible through whatever fire exit or emergency exit you can get out of. When you start dealing with over 1,000 individuals that start fighting, that riot, that start breaking things, that start becoming unbelievably aggressive and unruly, that is not the time to prove a point that you're going to stand your ground and defend yourself unless you absolutely have no other choice. This is the point when you say, I'm going to be the bigger man because I don't need to get in a fight with 1,000 people. I'm going to grab my backpack or my wife or whatever things I have with me that are important to me, and I'm going to leave out of the quickest, fastest emergency exit immediately. But when I saw this video, I noticed that this is happening more and more often. I know it's easier to do now because of social media, because a lot of these kids will start blasting stuff on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all these different things they have now, and start telling all their friends, and it literally grows exponentially within just 10 to 20 minutes to the point that they have to bring the cops in and completely shut down the malls. So that was my point in saying this, is that if you are at a mall, if you're at an area like this and you see a situation like this building and rising, and you walk out of a store and you see 1,000 people starting to get in brawls and fights and escalating things, leave immediately. I don't care what they say to you. I don't care what type of verbiage they use towards you. Leave the situation as safely as you possibly can. This is not something anybody needs to be involved in, especially any Second Amendment constitutional patriots. The last thing you need to do is get in some type of shootout in the middle of a mall with 1,000 plus people. I promise you will not go good for anybody. So that was pretty much my take when I saw that video today, Dad.
Well, you got to remember, guys, that you're only carrying, you got a couple extra magazines with you. You need to think through this.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're carrying an F&N 45, you know, tactical assault pistol, I mean, a military grade pistol, that, you know, and you got that big old thing shoved down the back of your pants, and you got a 15-round magazine in it, and you got one of the pipes, you're carrying 16 rounds of that with two extra magazines, you got 46 total rounds. You got 1,000 people, you better leave as quick as you can. You better not discharge that weapon. You just better run and get the heck out of there. And then if you get cornered somewhere and you have to pull the gun, that's one thing. But guys, it's not something that you need to do if you know it's a no-win scenario. It's better to go ahead and retreat and learn to do it a different way the next time and get yourself beat up or shot or killed by a bunch of people. Because you start discharging rounds on these people, and if they have enough chutzpah to charge you or throwing things at you and distract you or come up from behind you, you're going to find yourself very overwhelmed and very dead very quickly. So it's just better to stay away from situations like that and avoid them. That's why I don't like going to malls late at night. I don't like walking in parking lots late at night. When I do walk into a parking lot at night, I always have my hand in my pocket on my grip of my trusty Kimber with the hammer back. I mean, that's how I carry my guns. The thing's chambered. It's got a round in it. The hammer's back, and my safety's on. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, don't carry it that way. Or you can carry a holster like Austin carries. I keep it in my pocket. Just easy for me that way. And, guys, it's one of those things. Be thoughtful of what you do. When you have the right to carry a gun, when the government has given you that right through a concealed weapons permit, which, by the way, should not even be required, everybody has the right to carry a gun to defend themselves. But when the state sees upon you the right to carry a weapon, which makes you basically equivalent to a police officer carrying a gun, when they give you that right on top of your natural abilities and rights that you have to do that, you got to think through this. Because, you know, they're going to look at you differently in a court of law if you discharge that weapon or if you pull it out on somebody. Guys, be really, really careful not to brandish your weapon. That's so important. By the way, 5 nutritional supplements to support you when smoke and air pollution is severe. This is really important, especially out in California, especially in the different parts of the Midwest and out west where they have a lot of wood stoves going in the wintertime and they're burning a lot of debris and they've got a lot of stuff in the air. You have to understand, the United States has fallen victims to a lot of natural disasters, especially in California, and a lot of this is being caused by the chemtrails. Air pollution causes massive increases in cancer, heart disease, strokes, asthma, and other respiratory diseases. A lot of particulate matters and toxins are thrown into the air. Typical air pollution consists of ozone, nitrogen dioxide, sulfur dioxide, and particulate matter, which is a mix of solid and liquid particles suspended in the air. And one of the most dangerous types of air pollution. The smaller the particle, the worse it is for your health because it penetrates deep into your lungs and can be lodged there. Supplements, vitamin C, very important, 4 to 6,000 milligrams a day if you're in a smoke area. Resveratrol, an amazing supplement which has a potent protector against damaging effects of oxidative stress. Curcumin, or turmeric, we have it at the office. I take it every single day. Can modulate multiple cell signaling pathways and has a tremendous anti-inflammatory properties. I take it regularly. Green tea, which is our purple sticks. Our purple sticks are back in stock. I take at least one a day, sometimes two. Green tea is filled with antioxidants. Has many fabulous benefits, including the ability to help prevent dementia and memory loss, protecting the brain cells from oxidative damage, and protecting the heart. It can reduce cholesterol, overall inflammation, reduce plaque buildup in the arteries, lower cancer risk, and improve memory. Drink several glasses of the green tea per day, and it basically is amazing what it will do for you. That's why I take the green tea. Plus, we have our green tea, our purple sticks. We also have the, we have a bunch of vitamins added to them. And then you also need to realize there are all kinds of other antioxidants you can take. You can take vitamin D3, K2. You can take vitamin E. You can take selenium. Make sure that's in your multiple vitamin and trace amounts. There are all kinds of natural things that you need on a regular basis to prevent that, plus also potassium iodine. So always be careful with your immune system. Follow our healthy immune system protocol on our website, and you'll be a lot better off if you're in an area that's got a lot of smoke. Austin, what do you think?
Absolutely, yeah. The alpha, pretty much the main stack that I always recommend to people would be like the alpha lipoic acid, our controlled release, which is patented, the resveratrol, the turmeric. Those are really the three big ones that you can start on immediately. Depending on your budget, you can add in some more, but those are really, really good. Because yeah, especially out west right now with the smoke, and the problem is a lot of times if you live out there, you get used to it. Even because if it's not a significant, severe amount of smoke all at once, you know, you kind of get used to being in that haze all the time, and you don't realize how hazy it is until you actually get out of it and come back into it. I remember when we flew out to the national championship game out in Pasadena back in 2013, me and Dad did for the Florida State game. I remember when we flew in and came in out there to towards LA, I remember I was shocked when we were flying in to see just the haze around the entire place. And it wasn't even really smoke, I don't think. It's just flat out air pollution. And so unless you're actually going out of it and coming back into it, you don't realize how bad it is. So if you're in any areas that have that, it's very important that you're running very good antioxidants and very good free radical scavengers that are going to help prevent any type of long-term issues from that, you know, exposure on a regular basis. Also, too, in other news, this is pretty funny as far as with colleges. We've joked about this before, but apparently Brown University, the prestigious Brown University, has taken it a step further now. Brown University is now allowing prospective students to self-identify as people of color on their applications now. CampusReform.com actually went to Brown to see what students think of the new Pocahontas policy of what they're actually referring to it as now, as jokingly, and the students were overwhelmingly excited about it. As weird as that is, they said this year Brown University applicants will have the opportunity to self-identify as people of color or any nationality during the application process. While the school says the policy change is intended to help students better describe their identity and background, some have serious questions about the ramifications of this move. The move comes in time when the role of race in college admissions has been highlighted in national coverage and conversation when President Trump repeatedly referred to Senator Elizabeth Warren's claims of Native American ancestry by employing the nickname Pocahontas. So they're wondering now, a lot of people are starting to wonder, is this setting a dangerous precedent where students are better able to claim false identities for their own advantages? And as we see now, if you want to call yourself a girl or a boy or whatever you want to do, if you want to call yourself a cheetah or a mountain lion now, it kind of seems to be acceptable. Now you can pretty much go in and put down whatever race you want, and they're not going to question it. So I find this pretty crazy now that the universities have literally come to a point where reality and biology and DNA and ancestral background mean absolutely nothing anymore in real life. It pretty much is whatever fantasy you want to come up with now, they employ that to be truth. And Brown University now is taking it even a step further and publicizing that they're okay with this now.
Well, what would I do? Let's see. Because of affirmative action, white people don't really get into a lot of the pretentious schools anymore. white people don't really get into, you know, a lot of the medical programs or doctoral programs or law programs anymore because of affirmative action. So I guess what I would have to do is if I was going to go to Brown University, I'd play their game with them and I would identify as a black female or a Hispanic female or a Chinese female. And that way I would have a much lower population to compete against as far as getting into one of their graduate programs. And I could walk in wearing pigtails and maybe a scarf every once in a while, Austin. What do you think? How do you think I'd look in pigtails, Austin? I got to check. I'm sorry, guys. You know I'm being facetious. By the way, 50 ways to love your liver. Home remedies to detox and keep life in your liver. Remember, your liver is your body's primary organ of detox. When it's not well, neither are you. The human liver filters out drugs, nutrients, and toxins from the body and helps to digest fats and removes health, the toxic bilirubin from the blood, and home remedies and natural therapies are good. Organic food supplies nutrients without pesticides. What damages the liver? GMOs, trans fats, hydrogenated oils, high fructose corn syrup, that should be number one on the list. Sodas loaded with chemtrails and chemicals, Freudian slip. Sodas loaded with, well, they are loaded with, they're basically loaded with chemtrails too. Sodas loaded with chemtrails, chemicals, and artificial sweeteners. MSG, a food additive, which we know about that. Alcohol, processed and fast foods, soy-based foods, and medicines that can overload the liver, causing long-term damage. Now, lifestyle, do regular exercise, chew your food well, encourage sweating when you work out, even through the steam room sauna if you want to do that. Maintain intestinal health by avoiding toxin buildup in the bowel. Use L-glutamine. I take 2 scoops of that every single day. It's amazing what it does for your bowels. Avoid smoking cigarettes, taking drugs. Use chemical-free cleaning and personal care products and avoid chemical yard and bug sprays, including atrazine, diazinon, Agilox, and, you know, and Roundup. Avoid all of that junk. So things you can do, milk thistle. We have our liver support formula is amazing. You can also use our purple sticks again because green tea is high in catechins that support liver function. Turmeric, again, reduces inflammation, relieving symptoms of cirrhosis. Cinnamon reduces blood levels of glucose and fructose and the development of fatty liver disease. Aloe vera is a digestive tonic and pain reliever. Alpha-lipoic acid possesses antioxidant properties of supporting healthy liver function. There's all types of things that you can do every single day to keep a really, really healthy liver. And guys, it's important because remember, the liver has 2 blood sources. It has the hepatic artery and also the portal vein. Both from a venous standpoint, we have a flowing into the liver and a hepatic artery. You know, and this is, I'm gonna stop for just a second here and this is my last thing for the day. Our bodies are so complex, it's amazing. I mean, they're a biochemical machine that has been put together by Yahweh to function at optimal performance and peak performance throughout the time we spend here on this planet in our skin suit. We are a spiritual being experiencing a physical existence on this planet right now. But we're in the skin suit. Now, what's interesting about all of this, we're also a frequency or an energy field, which is being infused through internally when we're saved by the Holy Spirit. So not only are we an energy field that is subject to radiation and energy modulations from different fields, including cell phones, we're also a biochemical skin suit. Our bodies are wonderfully made by Yahweh, and it's incredible to me that people think that evolution is possible and that lightning hit a rock and we showed up. Man, you got to go right back to the beginning. That's what they believe, that lightning hit a rock, a peptide or amino acid was formed. They decided to basically put themselves together and to form a more complex chain. It doesn't work that way. In nature, everything goes downhill. You take a shiny car, you put it out. You take a shiny Volkswagen out on your field, and you let it sit for 50 years, it's a rust bucket. It doesn't turn itself into a shiny new Ferrari. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't happen that way. We were put here, and we were divinely made. And even the top scientists now who used to believe in evolution, many of them are saying, well, we kind of messed this up. Now we're looking at DNA, and we realize that we were put here, and we're basically a biochemical computer program is what we are. And that's how we're put together by God Almighty. So guys, be grateful on who you are because God doesn't make junk. And all of you are perfect in God's eyes, especially when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Then you're also redeemed. God loves you because He doesn't make junk. I love you guys and I appreciate you. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting your supplements and your purple sticks and all the other things that you guys do. And thank you above all for praying for us on a regular basis. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. You go ahead and close it, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yes, guys. Thank you for the support and everything you guys give us and all the feedback you constantly do. We've been getting a lot of feedback on the order comments when you place orders. We appreciate that. If there's something that you like or there's something that you don't like or there's something you just want to thank us for or let us know about, the order comments is a great place because we have it set up now for the last couple months that actually shows up on the invoice when we print it off. So everybody that handles it can actually see it and say, okay, well, this or that, or just a simple thank you. That's always great as well. So we appreciate the feedback. We like being in contact with our customers. We're still trying to get this contact form set up. We've had some issues with it. So if there is an issue, just give us a call right now since the email system is not working correctly. 1-800-726-1834. And also, too, be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com and check out the product of the week. The beef jerky is on there for voting. Also, too, the EyeSight, which is a great formula, the menopause support, and a couple other ones. So be sure to vote on that. And if you want to get the joint rebuilding formula, it's listed as product of the week right now on sale for over 10% off. So that's a really, really good formula. It's actually the one that Dave Hodges started using a couple years ago that we put him on that actually prevented him from having to go through knee replacement surgery. Now, that doesn't always work like that, however, but a lot of times if you can get that product in your system in high enough dosages before you completely and totally ruin the knee joint, it can help out significantly in rebuilding soft tissue in the body. I've used that product on a regular basis for any type of the shoulder issues or just tightness that I've had from hitting the weights so heavy over the last 12 years now, actually. Well, more than that, 13, 14 years. So, yeah, it's a really great product, so be sure to check it out. Also, too, you can check out all the kits that we have on the website, and be sure to check out the Eat Clean and Be Healthy cookbook that we have on there as well. So we appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for staying with us every day. Thank you for listening to our show. Thank you for forwarding it to your friends and letting everybody hear it and really spreading this alternative media out, because we have the ability to completely change around this country in the direction that we're going right now. And I think this year we've seen some huge changes. 2017 has been a wild year. A lot of stuff has happened, but I see a lot of positive direction that we're starting to go and a lot of good things that we're being able to do. And from a patriotic constitutional basis, I think we're doing a great job all together as a team and a family to really bring this country back to where it needs to be. So I thank you guys for that. We thank you for the support and all the time you guys give us. And just being there and being our Health Masters family, we thank you for that. So again, if you guys need anything, be sure to give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.